Amen. Amen. Thank you for that choir. As we dismiss our children at Children's Church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bible, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. I'm glad for that example Lewis just gave us. Let's all get a little more excited about being in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's get excited about seeing what God has in store for us this morning. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Ask you, we'll stand in honor reading God's Word this morning. Luke 2, 41 through 52, they read like this. Every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at the understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Verse 49, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us as we look at your word this morning. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord. And I pray, Lord, it's only you that's seen, Father. And I pray, Father, that as we go through this morning's message, you'd use it to equip us, Father, for what you have in store. I pray, Father, that you would help me, Father, to speak your word with integrity. And I pray, Lord, that every word that is said and everything that is spoken, Father, bring honor and glory to your name. Father, if there's one here that does not know your Son, Jesus, Lord and Savior, Father, today is the day of salvation, and I pray, Father, that they would turn to you. For it is your Son, Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, VBS, as you well know, I shared with you last week, over the next 5 weeks leading up to our VBS, which is going to start on July 14th, I'm going to be preaching to you the stories that you will hear during Vacation Bible School. So why do we want to do that? For one, there's going to be many of you that's going to be plugged in teaching these children the stories about VBS. And I want us to be ready for when we are able and have the opportunity to share with these children the stories about Jesus. Big picture, every one of them will have the word encounter. Today is an encounter in the temple. An encounter in the temple. Us encountering Jesus in the temple. And I think it's something that is very important for us to understand. Now, yes, when we go through the message, I'll give you a little glimpse of what the children will be looking at. But I may or may not, as we go through these, take a little different route. But it's going to be the same message, the same story that we will look at to help us, prepare us, to share with these children what Vacation Bible School is. So we are going through what's known as VBS in the wild. So I know I've shared with you how Gaston and I, we like to wear our happy socks. So in relation to in the wild, I wore my Shark socks, and they're eating donuts. So they're ready. They're ready. I don't know what Gaston wore this for. That's all right. We need to be ready. As we go into the wild, children can be wild every once in a while. We have music directors that can be wild every once in a while. Pastors are not so much. But we need to be ready. Because this is an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with children who need help. And this morning, as we look at the message, it's an opportunity for us, those who are here this morning, to come to understand that you too need to know Jesus. And the primary point is you cannot lead a child somewhere that you have not been. So if you want to teach them to be in God's Word, if you want to teach them to have an encounter with Jesus in the temple, if you want to teach them to know who Jesus is,
better make sure that you know it. You better make sure that you have encountered. You better make sure that you are ready to share with them the gospel truth of who Jesus is and why he came. That's the big picture, the whole message throughout the whole week in the wild, in an encounter with Jesus. So kind of just to get us started, I want to share with you some things within the Vacation Bible School to grab your attention. We're going to begin, as I stated, a five-week sermon series. In each Bible study, we're going to see a different way that we can encounter Jesus. We'll learn how this encounter can help us recognize that we can encounter him in a similar way. That's going to be our focus as we go through these messages over these next 5 weeks. The big picture, I think there's a few things you need to know. First of all, is the VBS motto. The VBS motto is, listen, zoom in, focus on Jesus. So I'm going to, can you say that? Zoom in, focus on Jesus. I tell you what, if we got that excited, I don't think anybody would show up. I don't think it'd be the first child that was here. So adults, it's time for us to get excited. Now the motto is, zoom in, focus on Jesus. Let's hear you say it.
Zoom in, focus on Jesus.
Now that's the way it's supposed to be. There you go, we're ready. We're getting zoomed in. We're zooming in, we're focusing on Jesus. Let me tell you, as we go through this morning's message, and some conversations I have this morning, I'm in awe of seeing how God works. Yeah. And there may be just a few people that really get the connection this morning that will have some conversations that I've had, but I am in awe of how my God works. I'm in awe of how my God works and how he is real and how he is present in our hearts and our lives. Yeah. So zoom in, focus on Jesus. The key question that we asked it through VBS is this: am I ready for an up-close and personal encounter with Jesus? So you need to ask yourself that question. So I'm going to say a few words, and you repeat after me. Am I ready for an up-close and personal
encounter with Jesus?
So over the next 5 weeks, I want you to be asking yourself that question. Am I ready for an up-close and personal encounter with Jesus? Let me tell you something. Don't be so focused that you're looking for the encounter and the encounter that you're missing. Don't miss the encounter with Jesus. See, we can become so plugged into all types of things and distracted. We'll talk about that more in a moment. That we miss the encounter. Don't miss the encounter with Jesus. And it's my understanding. Nothing about Greg whatsoever. Nothing about Randy whatsoever. But if you don't come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, expecting an encounter with Jesus, then you're coming for the wrong reason. And now you can encounter him all throughout the week in your own personal Bible study. But I know church people need to get out of the rut and expect God to move. Amen. We need to be expecting God to move. So the last thing I want to kind of bring to your attention is the VBS scripture, which is John 20:31, which states, "But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name." So we're going to learn that scripture this morning. At least we're going to try to. Repeat after me. "But these are written, so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name." Now, where's it found?
John 20:31.
Most of you have. John 20:31. Very good. Very good. You're ready. Look here. We got 4 more weeks of practicing this. And guess what? We're going to practice it every week. So by the time VBS gets here, you should know it. Why? Because when we come in night one on Sunday night with VBS, I want you to be excited. Why? Because we want them kids to be excited to have an encounter with Jesus all week long. And most importantly, I want to give you a challenge. Put you in prayer. Children, the surrender of Jesus Christ is going to say. I want you to be in prayer. There's an adult. He needs to know Jesus. That's you. But you would come to know Jesus Christ is going to say. Because there's
nothing else that we should ever become more excited about.
In today's message, we're going to see a few things that kind of caused Greg to really consider the things that were going on in his life this week, and a lot of things that maybe a different approach to the way you've heard these scriptures preached before, but I'm very convicted on how it applies directly to each and every one of us. Now, as most of you know, a couple of weeks ago we went on vacation, and we do a lot of different things when we go on vacation. It was unique in itself, but we had this hike. We go places, we hike quite often. Generally not too far, as you can tell, but we hike quite often. Well, this one hike, and I'll just tell you, it was uphill both ways, there and back, it seemed like, brother. It wasn't snowing much, just a little. But we hiked up this mountain, I think it's some 550 feet, seemed like straight uphill. But we got up there, and then we go to a lake. It was surrounded by mountains. And on most of the mountains, at least on one side, were waterfalls, just cascading off. Beautiful view. Beautiful. It's well worth my exhaustion when we got to the top to see. Along the way, we had the privilege of seeing an elk in a while. Enjoyed seeing it, just being itself. God's creation out there in front of us. And we determined then, we've had a lot of exciting vacations. Any vacation is exciting, amen? We get to get away for a while. But we determined then, we really enjoyed that vacation. But you know what? Some couple of weeks have passed by, and as I was thinking about this message morning, I kind of realized, you know, long ago it already seemed. So it was a couple of weeks. It just seemed like it was just so long ago that vacation took place. Why? Because we're coming back to here in Realville. And life keeps going. Chores keep coming. Bills keep showing up in the mailbox. No matter how often I say I live at home. Life keeps happening. And before we know it, we start to forget about the vacation and get back into the rut of everyday life. And Jesus just, the Holy Spirit just really poured down on me, said, Greg, my child, how often am I that way to you? How often, Greg, do you become so distracted by life's chores, by life events, by struggles, by difficulties, by whatever things you may be facing in life? Though me, and surrender to Jesus Christ, should be the most important thing, and is the most important thing that anyone will ever do. Amen. And we should never lose our excitement over what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. But all too often, we go on and we live our life as if we have forgotten who He is and what He's done. How He has redeemed us. How He has forgiven us. How He has given us life and a life in abundance. You see, John 10:10, as you all well know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life. You may have life in abundance. So this morning's message, I want us to look and see if we recognize ourselves in this story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. So in your fill in the blanks, how do I encounter Jesus at the temple? Number one, you must recognize that you are without Him. Recognize that you are without Him. Let me give you up front a little bit of information about this journey that they were taking. They were traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover. That was an annual custom. They were remembering the Exodus, if you will. They were remembering the Passover and how they were provided for. How the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the doorpost, how it saved their children. How God did a big movement, and then they were given freedom by Pharaoh, who had a hardened heart. God delivered His people. So they go to remember. And Nazareth is some 70 miles away from Jerusalem, in which that's where they traveled from. And they traveled about 20 to 25 miles per day. So it took them 3 or 4 days to get there. Now let's fast forward to give you a little, backdrop of what's taking place. But so they've traveled 20 to 25 miles. They have a day's journey before they ever recognized Jesus was missing. Now this is his parents. You look at the first of Luke chapter 2, you see what's happened. The birth of our Savior. And there's this little boy, we don't know what took place. 12 years later, the mother and the father have just seen a miraculous event take place. I lost contact with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that they intentionally did it by any means. I'm saying life happened. They traveled in large caravans, if you will, for safety and for companionship. Yes, they thought they were, well, maybe he's with some family or friends. He was somewhere else. It was an incident that took place by accident. Yeah. How many of us have traveled a long life's way and we've got Jesus ready for us, with us? We're ready to go, but we get a little started and we move and this life happens. And before we know it, where's Jesus? I'm going to tell you something. I will share that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. If it seems that it is as if he is not in your presence, it's not because he's left. It's because you have walked away. How many of you in the room don't have to raise your hand? Because I know if we're all honest, we're everyone to raise their hand. I've ever walked and we said, where are you, Jesus? In the middle of life's struggles and life's difficulties. Too often what we're guilty of is placing him in our life. Say, I'll take him out when I get ready for him. But when I really need him, well, I'll reach in that pocket because I know he's there. Reminds me of this example. Most of you know that I was a machinist for 23 plus years. There was one time that this gentleman was running a job and it had to have thread gauges. In short, it lets you know if the thread being made was right or wrong. There was a go and no-go. If it goes, well, it's good, unless the no-go goes. The go goes, the no-go does not go, that's a good problem. Well, this inspector, I mean something, this inspector, he comes out, he couldn't find his thread gauge. He couldn't just trust the one we had. He had to use the official thread gauge. Right? He couldn't find it. In this place. So what he got to do? He had to shut everything down. He did the right thing. We can't send the customer a bad product. He had to shut everything down. Well, the machine's not running. We're not making money. The owner gets upset. Why is this going on? About a day passes by. Asked him, where'd you put it? Where's the last place you was at? Asking all these questions. He comes back later, I found it. You know where he at? On his back pocket. In life, oftentimes, God's at work in a lot of people in our lives, working in through us, and he wants to accomplish, he wants to bless so many things, but we like to move you up in that dog squirrel. We're looking at a whole different direction. And we're not coming in and focused on what God wants to do in and through us. Now, I'm not saying God has to shut down the whole process, but that's kind of what it seems like. Greg, I want to do this for you. If you're a little baby, I want to bless you, Greg. Greg, you've got to reach out and be a blessing. And because Greg's not focused, not honed in, and he's without Jesus, you know what? He's missing. God wants to agree. God says, hold on, Greg. Take me out of your pocket and let me work in through you. I'm not to be hidden. Greg, remember Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is our way to salvation. But if we are acting as if we are not with him, we're acting as if we are without him, and we're intentionally, though we don't say that, not having Jesus in our life, that's saying to the world, we're ashamed of the gospel. We don't say that. I don't think there's anybody in this room that sets out and say, you know, I'm ashamed of the gospel. I think every one of us are excited about the gospel. But our life shows that because we too often try to live life without it.
John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus himself said, without me, you can do nothing.
So why don't we try? Why don't we try? That's exactly what's taking place within our text. Maybe two very key cogs, if you will, in the gospel story. But they've done exactly, they're living life along the way. They traveled a day's journey, 20-25 miles. And then, where is Jesus? So that lets me know that it doesn't take just ordinary person to think about Jesus. Anybody, even in ministry, try to build new things about Jesus. And Henry Blackaby said, don't do that. See God at work and join him. Don't go somewhere and say, come join me. See God at work and join him. Be where he's called. Don't be without him. Big picture. Let me move forward. Number two in your fill in the blank. How do I encounter Jesus at the temple? Search for him. Search for him. So first thing you have to do is recognize you're without him. Recognize you're not where you need to be. Recognize he's not where in your life he needs to be. Remember, he's not leaving you forsaken. But if he's not a priority, then he's not in the right place in your life. So you need to recognize that. You need to search for him. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you truly searched for Jesus? When was the last time he opened up his word and said, Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to be with you more. I want to make you known. When was the last time you truly searched for Jesus? You see, Mary and Joseph recognized Jesus was missing, and they began a search to trace back when they last saw him. And it took them a day's journey back. You see, they're a day out. They're a day back. And I can't imagine what's going through their mind. A child missing, not knowing where they're at. I can't imagine what's going through their mind. Much less they know he is God in the flesh. They know he is the Son of God. You read the story starting in Luke chapter 2, and you'll hear the story. They know the miraculous event took place. I don't know about you, but how many of us would be like Mary and Joseph would say, I don't know what I've done with you. I don't know what I've done with Jesus. I don't know. It may seem silly. The same question we can ask today. When we're traveling along life's way, there's going to come a day when we stand before God. And you're going to ask us, what did we do with Jesus? You're either going to say, I did this, this, this. He don't know. He can't like it. And he might say, it's all comes in the place. Get her in my door. Which I have prepared for you. But if we say, I don't know what I did with it. I don't judge. I can't judge. We're proven, in fact, you might say. And I'm afraid there's too many people, he's going to say, from me, who I never knew. Oh, I pray that none of us hear that, those words. And if God's pricking your heart, I urge you right here, right now, we don't have to wait at the invitation. You can surrender to Jesus Christ right where you're at right now. And I pray you'll do that. Say, I want to know you, and I ask God to forgive you, and let him know, be honest with him. Search him out. Why? Because he first sought after you. He loves you that much. But you know, in our own lives, that's exactly how we do. We get so distracted that we misplace it, if you will. We allow things to distract us, and we get so caught up in life, that as I stated earlier, in Realville, if you will, and we try to go on without him when we can't. We can't go on without him. See, the big picture, the importance of this entire story when Jesus asked the question in Luke 2:49, first A, if you will, the first portion, why are you searching for me? I think there's a lot there. Why are you searching for me? And another 90 questions, I think he's saying, Mary, Joseph, do you not remember what the Holy Spirit did and how I came about? Why are you searching for me? You know where I am. You know who I am. Why are you searching? I'm thankful you're searching. I need for you to search. I want for you to search. I'm right here. I'm right here. Don't misplace me. Don't put me somewhere in a closet, in a pocket. Make me King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which I already am. By the way, there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to be living our lives. Christians, church, that's how we need to be living our lives. Recognizing when we're without Him, and when we are, searching for Him. And when you're with Him, search for Him still. Get to know Him in a more personal and a closer way. Have an encounter with Him, no matter where that may be. Be ready to encounter Him. Number three in our fill in the blank. Come to His Father's house. Come to His Father's house. That's how we find Jesus in the temple. We can find Jesus in God's Word, and we should. We can find Jesus in believers, and we should. Jesus said we can find Him in the Father's house. In our society today, the church is one of the last places people look for Jesus. I don't have an exact reason. I can give you some guesstimates. But there's one thing that I don't understand. Is our culture tries to tell us, they have no need for the church. And this is the direction I'm going to go, and I'm going to be short this week, please. If there was no need for the church, why did God create it? You see, Greg didn't create church. You didn't create church. Man didn't create church. God created church. He calls for church to be living and active. I've had across my mind 10 or 20 different times the past 2 weeks. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. That's the church. And I want just for a moment, because I see Facebook posts, I see all these things that they say, the four walls are not the church. Well, I agree with the four walls are not the church. We are the church. The people are the church. Let me tell you something. I want to have a question for those who say we don't need a church building. Now bear with me. Hebrews 10:25. What in the world did God put that in the Bible? It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some are, even more so as you see the day approaching. Why did God include that? Because He wants the church to be active in the community. And when you're active in the community, you're going to get tired. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to need some encouragement. That's why you come to this building, to be encouraged. To be lifted up, to praise and worship a holy God, to be given strength by other believers who are facing life just like you. That's what the church is, so we can build one another up, not tear each other down. God created the church, not me. We need this church building, body of believers, local body of believers, so we can build up one another, so we can encourage one another. There's nothing no more inside of me than how a brother or sister in Christ say, I'm praying for you, brother. How's your week going this week, brother? Can I pray for you? Something else. There's nothing better to know than that Jesus loves you. And so does He. See, God created the church because He knew
when we go out in the world, our batteries are going to run out. We're not the Energizer Bunny, no matter how much we think we are. I shared with somebody earlier, I spent a Friday eating lunch with senior adults, and I spent Saturday with a young adult Sunday school class. I don't know which one was more happy and excited I couldn't keep up with, but I tell you what, I wore a slap out this morning. I love every one of them. Young and old and anywhere in between. God calls for us in the church. Yes, I'm the community. You can go, Abraham, Thunderbolt, wherever life carries you. Be the church. He didn't create a local congregation. He didn't call for however many charter members there were, 11 or whatever, in 1881, to say, let's create Ebenezer Baptist Church, which became the First Baptist Church in Utah. He didn't do it for nothing. He knew 138, whatever, some odd years later, that God had a plan for a crazy old pastor to be here, and for some crazy people to be here in this congregation that's going to hear a message about the church, for us to be the church and community and to come together and worship Him and encourage one another. But too often, sitting in a pocket, we lose our excitement. We, all people, who have been redeemed, have reason to celebrate. Have reason to worship.
Yeah.
Have reason to love.
So in conclusion, as we get ready for Vacation Bible School, here's some key things that we need to know. Jesus paid it all for us all. These kids need to see that in your life. And they need to hear that in your story. He died for you. Will you live for Him? Will you allow Him to live in and through you? An encounter at the temple requires for you to recognize that you are without Him. It requires for you to search for Him because He searched after you. To love Him because He first loved you. It requires for you to make an effort to be in His Father's house. If anywhere should have Jesus on walls or on the lips, it should be the church. Whether we're in this building or out of it, we should have Jesus on our lips. So first, when we get ready for the song of invitation, there's one here this morning that you recognize. Maybe you followed Jesus a long time ago, and for some reason that life happened, and you recognize, no, I don't have Him at the forefront of my life. I don't place Him as a priority that I know He needs to be. And I want to make things well. This altar is open, and He wants you to call upon Him. He says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to restore you.
off the top. Just off the top of what you're saying. If all hearts are well, let's worship Him. Sing this song, and I want you to worship Him. You know what? It's all right. Praise Him together.